Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's a you show, not a me show. You're the star of the show. City Limits, who's next? We're talking tons of Steelers. Arrow up, arrow down on Russell Wilson after that game. Yes, he lost the game, but did he play the kind of football generally that you're going to need in a playoff situation? Translated, that means can he get the ball down the field? Can he move around, move away from pressure, look like a younger Russell Wilson? Yes, to me, to all of that. I have some hope, but I'm not predicting they're going to win a playoff game, even one. I'm not predicting that. Bob, are they in the midst of a collapse here? Is that what you would call it if they lose? If they lose to Kansas City, is this a collapse?
I think we knew at the beginning of the season that this stretch was going to be a very, very difficult stretch. We also said if they build up enough in terms of wins early against teams they should beat, that they would give themselves a cushion, which is exactly what they did. So this should not be surprising.
Is it a collapse if they lose this game?
No, because of the competition they have. I don't think it would be that. You can look at it that way, but how they respond afterwards will do. If they lose to Cincinnati and then carry that over, be like 20-20 again, 11-0, and then lost 5 or 6 to end the year. I'm hoping that's not the case, but I think the competition we're talking about here is the elite competition that they have to face during this time. Philadelphia, you could argue, is the best team, one of them in the entire game, if not the NFC. And then Kansas City is
If they lose this division, it is a collapse. However, as I've said, even when we were talking about winning the division in Baltimore and all of that, the biggest games are yet to be played. So, yeah, that would be a collapse, but you salvage that by winning a playoff game. Yes,
Just one would
be great.
It's kind of like Penn State in the same mindset.
Yes.
You know? It depends on what you do in the postseason.
Very good point, Bob. And we're going to talk about that college football playoff coming up in about 20 minutes. First, let's get to, is Randall still on the line? What a loyal listener
Randall has
he
been
is.
On the,
yes,
I,
he is.
I've been looking at Randall's timesheet here. He's been on for a long time.
Hello, Randall.
Hey, hello. How you doing? Joe, I met you in 2018 when I brought my son up there and we played catch outside
I remember
of
that.
Kansas City game.
Yes, I remember. Wonderful time.
All right.
If only Bob, the only way it could have been better was if Bob was there.
Exactly. Maybe next time we'll get all of us together and do that again. What about that?
Where are you, in Houston?
No, Atlanta.
Atlanta? What's the weather like in Atlanta this time of
Joe's
year?
Joe's looking for a golf destination.
Yeah.
It's pretty good today. It's about, say, 53 degrees, sunny. So it's pretty good right now.
And what is it generally in like February? Is it playable for golf in Atlanta?
Well, I'm not a golfer, but in some days, yes.
Bob, I think I'm going to go to Atlanta and play golf. Go ahead, Randall.
So, Joe, you and Bob have gone back and forth so many times now that I almost lost my point here. But in some instances, Bob made a great point by saying that the players, I know everything eventually falls on Mike Tomlin, but yet players who have cost us games. Either they've cost us games by their play in the game or have cost us games by not being available for the game. Case in point, Bendit Hall fumble. Kemi Otu can't block. Shazier breaks his neck. Ben throws 5 picks. Toussaint fumble. LeBeau calls a 0 blitz. Ryan Monday out of position. Ryan Clark can't play in Denver. Ben throws 4 picks against Cleveland. Pouncey hikes the ball over all 3 of the rivers at the same time. So
that's actually a great line.
They do all of this, and then it still falls on Mike Tomlin having won a playoff game. Well, how many sacks have T.J. Watt gotten in a playoff game that he has played? How many has he been available for? So I know everything falls on him, but you criticize him when other people, other journalists or other commentators say Mike Tomlin is this and Mike Tomlin is that. Then you put that on. The standard is Mike Tomlin is only this and only that because of what other people say.
Yeah, at some point. Go ahead.
His point and his goal every year is to win the trophy. He says he wants to see confetti on T.J. Watt and Cameron Haywood. So his goal is to win the championship. It's just, it starts with winning a playoff game. So it's not just his standard is only to win a playoff game.
So, well, I know, but that would be nice if how about lowering your standard to that and actually winning one? Like, I agree with you. Of course, a lot of it's on the players. There's been injuries. But at some point, the over-the-top praise on him as one of the greatest coaches of all time falls flat when you haven't won a playoff game. Some of it falls on him, by the way. A lot of it falls on him. If you don't like the personnel around here, he has a big hand in that. He's the one that drafted Kenny Pickett. He's the one that brought in Matt Canada and wasted a couple years with that guy. He's the one that doubled down on Matt Canada. Did you see the Browns game a couple weeks ago? He butchered that game. So how many years is too many for you would be my question without a playoff win. Because if he doesn't win one this year, it'll be eight. Is it 10? 15?
It's been too many, but in all honesty, we've only been blown out in two of the last six playoff games that we played in.
What?
I mean, yes.
They've been blown out in every single one of them.
No, those were home games, too.
Jacksonville was the third seed, and they were winning at halftime against New England to go to the Super Bowl. You keep saying that was a bad game. They were a good team.
They weren't winning against New England to go to the Super Bowl. They were trailing at the half because they butchered an end-of-half situation down at the New England 1. And the Jacksonville game, they were down 28-0, I think, and then they were down by 10.
No, it was Cleveland. That was the Cleveland game.
Well, no, Jacksonville, they were down by a lot of points as well. And it was a 10-point game, and the Steelers got a junk touchdown with 4 seconds left, by the way.
True.
So they've been blown out of every playoff game.
Not every. Because we had the Denver games if Ryan Clark could have played. But not that one.
I'm talking about the 8-year streak here of playoff games. They've been blown out of every one.
We played Denver twice. Denver.
Yeah, that was before this streak started. The streak started with the AFC title game. No, the next year after the AFC title game lost to New England.
To New England.
That's when the streak started after that.
But your point's well taken, but it's a two-way street. It's both. The players, obviously, and that was my point. When you look at the game in Baltimore, it was Russell Wilson bad mistakes at critical times. There's not much as a coach you can do in those situations. You expect better. Having said that, I still think he played a pretty decent game if you subtract those two. But you can't subtract those two. Those are big plays that happen. But they have to do better. The pressure's on them. It's been that way. And thank you, Randall, for the call. Appreciate it. And your patience as well. But when you're in a position to take advantage of some of this stuff, you got to do it, regardless of the circumstance, period.
See, and Tomlin is a complicated situation. It's, again... Randall's call was great, I think, but I think for a lot of people, it has to be one of two things. It has to be he's horrible or, man, he's one of the greatest coaches who ever lived. That leaves a pretty wide gulf in between that, I think, in which to judge Mike Tomlin. When we were arguing with Pony last week, he was saying, yeah, every year when they lose in the playoffs, you're saying, is this the year Tomlin's on the hot seat? Well, it's a complicated situation. Here's why. He wins more than he loses. Right? He wins more than he loses. So it makes it tough to fire him. It makes it tough to fire a winning coach. What I object to is the national, especially the national media, but a lot of local Steeler writers too. One of the greatest coaches, the over the top hype on this guy that's been heightened by Hard Knocks, where people are unable to distinguish between this guy is, you know, magnetic. He's a star. He is. He's a star speaker. He's great with people. People love him. The inability to separate that from, yeah, but, and it's the inconvenient truth, yeah, but he hasn't come close to winning a playoff game since when? 2016? That's a tough thing to reconcile. So I'd love to be able to come out and either say, put him straight to the Hall of Fame or fire him. But it's a lot more complicated than that when you're judging Mike Tomlin. I would say, could you please win a playoff game one of these years? One of these years. And
right,
pretty soon,
right now with ownership. It's time to do it. And
pretty,
so that's what
but not
by.
At the expense of his job.
Well, no, I'm not suggesting that. It's just time to do it. What I'm saying is you mentioned about the coaching hirings. That's strictly on him. Largely the player acquisitions.
Pickett. Yeah.
Largely on him. But here's the one thing that really, and it doesn't change. It seems like it's the same. It's the slow starts that we see. You know, it's oftentimes, he terms it as warming up to the competition, warming up to the game, whatever.
You can't mean on, warm up. You mean in seasons?
I'm talking about every first quarter of games.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Every first quarter of games, it seems like they're either, you know, tied and there's not much going on, or they're behind because they started slowly, lots of three and outs. How about coming out and dictating a first quarter? And that, you know, if you're going to judge a coach, it's what you do to achieve that. What are you doing to achieve a good first quarter?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I'm judging a coach on what he does in the postseason. If he gets there, people also forget that during this playoff streak, they've missed, what, three or four times the playoffs. They haven't even gotten there. And when they do get there, they get destroyed every single time. So I'll fully admit, you know, whether I'm talking with Andrew or anybody else, I'm and have been for a long time very conflicted on Mike Tomlin. I don't think I've ever written they should fire him. I've said they shouldn't extend him as long as they should. Now people may come back and say, well, if you say this season's another failure, if they don't win a playoff game, why don't you fire him? And my answer to that would be because he had a pretty good regular season. Because he had a decent season. They won more than they lost. I don't make it a habit of firing people for that. It's not so simple. And his case is especially complicated because he does win. I do think he's a good coach. I just think at times it's just incredibly overhyped. And I think that this Hard Knocks thing has underscored that. And my position was always, let's wait and see how the season plays out here. And meantime, if they keep losing and don't win a playoff game, it'll be another 2020 collapse, Bob. That's inarguable,
well,
right?
Well, I mean, if that's the way it ends, that they falter down the stretch and then it carries into the postseason, absolutely. But again, I'm looking at this competition they have, and I think we all knew. Everyone talked about it. Beginning of the season, look at the way this ends. Three games in 11 days against all three physical teams, all three elite teams, I think, and teams that you're going to have to deal with. Now, they did what they had to do. We'll see what it goes into the postseason. As long as they win the division, I still think that's the opportunity. If they don't, I will look at that as a collapse heading into the playoffs, and then they can erase that by winning some playoff games. But
yeah,
you have to. They were in a position with a two-game lead over this team that you got to close the deal. And it's still out there. It's still in their advantage. They're still driving the seat. We'll see what happens after that.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line you can communicate with the Limitless Wonder is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Next.
Let's go to Rob in O'Hara.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, great show as always.
Thanks for being there, Rob.
No problem. Joe, I disagree with you. I think it is pretty simple regarding Tomlin. When Chuck Knoll was coach, he set the standard. Tyre upheld the standard, and then came Mike Tomlin, who has given us nothing more than 17 seasons of jibber-jabber. He's not a teacher. He can't evaluate talent. He's not a disciplinarian. He's an enabler.
Well, what about the entire 1980s when Chuck Knoll only won two playoff games?
Well, we knew. I did, anyways. I was watching the games when they went 1-13. He came into the locker room at the end of the season and told his players, "A lot of you ain't going to be here anymore because you're not good enough." And that's
well, it's a lot different when you have a 1-13 team and they hadn't won in 40 years. Of course, you would say that.
Yeah. But the thing is, he delivered. Tomlin Hassan delivered for a long, long time. The only time he did deliver was with Cowers players and Cowers coaches. He's not a tactician. It wasn't Russell Wilson that blew this last game. It was Tomlin taking, you know, instead of punting the ball and pinning Baltimore down.
But you don't think those turnovers, I mean.
See, you're the opposite extreme. You're the opposite extreme.
No question, they hurt.
They define the outcome of the game. That's what lost them this particular game.
You make it sound like he's a horrible coach, which in my mind is ridiculous.
No, it's not, and I'll tell you why.
You think he's a horrible coach? Yes or no?
Yes. Oh, in six of the last seven games, he's made major coaching blunders that you would expect from a rookie first-year coach. Their problem is very simple. Their focus isn't winning championships. Their focus is making splash plays.
Would you say the same of Dan Campbell, what he did last year in their game against San Francisco? Would you say the same if you watched their game a couple of games ago when he is, without reason, going for things that are almost impossible metrically to, you know, he's, you talk about the ultimate gambler who can gamble away potential wins. I mean, coaches do this not just here. I think we focus too much on here. If you look around and watch some of these games, Rob, you'll see that those kinds of questions could be brought up against every, Rob Eberflus or whatever his name was, lost his job in Chicago because of being an idiot in some of his decision making.
You can make excuses, Bob.
I'm saying you called him a horrible coach. I think that's you can't do that.
He's a 500 coach, Bob. He's done what the Washington Redskins try to do when George Allen coached them. He brings in all these veterans because he doesn't want to have that bad losing season with the hope of development because he has no developmental skills. You look at his draft record and look.
I look at some of their draft guys and that have developed who have been third, fourth, fifth, sixth round picks. You're making. I think you have an agenda. You have a syndrome here, Rob, about Mike Tomlin.
No, I don't, Bob. I've done a study on his. You look at his last going back to Cam Hayward. His first four picks. Look who's left. Look who succeeded on his teams. Take a look. I did this. This guy isn't good enough to win.
Well, he's already won, though.
Yeah, he won with Cowers players.
Oh, come on, with Cowers players. You want to go back to Mike Tomlin's first draft, which was what, 2007?
Right.
Lawrence Timmons and Lamar Woodley. Lamar Woodley is the greatest postseason sack artist in the history of football. You can look that up. Were those bad picks? If you're putting it all on Tomlin and none on Kevin Colbert, were they bad picks?
This guy has so many misses. It's not just Kenny Pickett. It's not just the soon-to-be Najee Harris.
No, you mentioned his first draft. You said from his first draft, and I think his first two draft choices were great. And then you said he won with Cowers players. Lamar Woodley helped him win a Super Bowl in a big way.
Three sacks.
Look, go back like I did. That's what I said. Hey, you can sit here and make excuses for him, but all we've gotten is jibber-jabber. He hasn't upheld the standard.
All right.
That's
okay.
I don't think we're going to change his mind.
I don't think so either, Bob. Maybe Mark Cabot. See, that's the thing. That's the thing with Tomlin. It's one of two extremes. I'm not afraid to admit I'm extremely conflicted with his, especially his recent tenure. I will say this, win a damn playoff game one of these years. And
right,
I will say this too. He butchered the Browns game, and that's one that could go back to haunt them.
Yeah, that game.
Mike Tomlin in his first 4 to 5 years was an A-plus coach. Since then, I would put him at about a C-plus. You?
Yeah, I just...
Is that fair?
C-plus, yeah. If you factor in postseason, absolutely it's fair, regardless of what the success was in the regular season. And I think on top of that, you had, you know, at the time, some of the elite talent offensively in the game with those killer bees, things of that nature, and they didn't capitalize on any of that, and they had those guys here.
Well, it's interesting that we had those two people call, because the one guy who I thought was on one extreme was nothing as Tomlin's fault.
It's all extremes.
Well,
you're right about
that. Did have the killer bees, but when did he have them for a playoff game all healthy?
Well, that's the other thing. Health was an issue on that. And again, for Bob and O'Hara, the thing is there are a lot of extenuating circumstances, and I kind of look at everything that way. I try to factor it all in, and while most people immediately go to quarterback and coach for everything, there are other aspects of these games and mistakes, bad, you know, do you think they're coaching to jump off sides, to false start, to illegal shift all the time? Some of this comes on to players too, you know, and you have to understand that those guys are out there, and if they don't do what they're supposed to do, it looks bad for the coach. Of course it does.
Good coach, yes. Miracle worker, as he's been painted as,
well, no
in things like Hard Knocks.
No one's painting him here as a miracle worker.
A lot of people
not
are. Not you. Around the Steelers, and especially nationally, paint him as a miracle worker. That's what they do, and he's not. Miracle workers don't go 7 and 8 years between simple playoff wins, and more to the point, between even competing in a playoff game. You do realize his defenses set an all-time record for giving up 40 points in consecutive games.
Which is why this defense, as good as it can be and as good as the name recognition is, has a standard to live up to, especially when they get to the playoffs. If they are what people think they are as the highest paid defense, they're going to have to make plays and not break down what you saw in Baltimore, some of these just easy touchdown passes they were giving up. And I know you don't have part of your secondary. I get it. But you still can't allow for that, period.
So it's somewhere in between for the Michael Silvers and Jason LaConforas of the world who roll their eyes at any criticism of Tomlin and tell the world how lucky everybody is to have him and that he is a miracle worker. I say, where do you see that over the last 7 years, which is a lifetime in the NFL, a lifetime? Is he going to win a playoff game this year? Can he? And that's sort of the lowest of expectations, is it not? Can he be competitive in one?
Well, I still think you have to get there first. And
well, they're there. They're going to get to the playoffs.
They are. How you get to the playoffs, you know, it still comes down to how you're playing into the playoffs. If you're not playing well, that's a problem. So the teams that are trending normally are the teams that really play well this time of the year and they carry it into. That's what they need to change, and it starts on Wednesday. And if they do play well and beat Kansas City, I think people have a whole different look at this heading down the stretch.
Yeah, and I think they might. I think they might play well. It helps to have your players. It helps to have your best offensive player. That's what George Pickens is. He's the best player on the offense. That kind of helps. It helps to have T.J. Watt healthy for a playoff game, which now seems to me to be cast in doubt. Did you see Cabali walking through here, Bob?
Yeah, he's in there. Is he due to be on? Yes, he is, right?
I don't know. Cabali, come here for a moment, please.
Why is he roaming here if he's not going to be on the show?
I don't know. He's being very sort of suspicious. Could we talk to you just for a moment? Not even about the Steelers.
Look at him at the door.
What is he doing?
He's peering through the glass there.
He's scaring me. I want to introduce you first.
We're not going to have breaks. This is a breakless hour, commercial-free radio right here on 93.7
The Fan. There's no breaks around here.
No, we don't want to
say that.
And
there are a lot of things he does that I like. Not Cabali, but Tomlin.
Since when have you paid attention to the clock? Oh.
Now he's breaking
everything. Mic drop, literally a mic drop right there on
the
computer.
Are you on with the PM guys?
No.
Why are you here?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Why are you here then?
It's a secret.
Negotiating a big-time contract.
It's a big,
I know what you're doing.
It's a big secret.
Do you want to come back the next segment with us?
As long as it's not 59 minutes like your normal segments are. Was that a dart? Was that
yes, it is
one?
A dart, but if you look at the people online who've been waiting for over an hour, you understand.
Why is he looking at Austin?
We've got to like 100 callers today. I think this has been a very inclusive show.
You think I can
show.
Name every single one of those Buffalo pictures?
Yeah, try.
I can't even
go
see
left
from here.
To right.
It looks like Kelly Thurman.
Kelly.
Yep.
Thurman.
Smith.
Bruce.
Austin.
Yep.
I can't see that far.
You'll never...
It looks like Kelso. I can't tell, but Cornelius Bennett's on the end. Who's
the guy running? I can't see a number.
Andre
there.
Reed?
No. Second to the last on the L.
Who's... Oh, that guy is Steve Tasker.
Who's the A?
Steve Tasker, the greatest special
I can't
teams
see
player
from
who
here.
Ever
it's too
lived.
Far away. I thought it was Mark Kelso.
They look the same, don't they? But no, because Kelso had the big kazoo helmet. You remember that?
Kelso from that 70s show?
No, from North Hills High School. Mark Cabali joins us next on the Cooking.
Oh, here we go. You wonder why you ain't getting no gift from me, all right?
Oh.
I see what you're doing, Top Dog Joe.
That hurt. Can we hear Ron's voice? I was talking with Jack Ham about Ron.
Today's Jack Ham's birthday.
Oh, my God, it is?
Yeah, the Steelers tweeted it out.
What? Holy horse.
They said, happy birthday, Jack Ham, 2 hours ago.